is good. Elaine did, you know Elaine. She's always wild, isn't she? And so we're glad to be part of her ministry and her life and Ken's and the blessing she is to the body of Christ. Now, don't you look at my hands. Oh, what in the world? I think I've dried my hands with it too many times today. I've turned in like that. It looks brand new. So we had a good time and got to be a blessing, and we got to be blessed. And then we went to Cookeville, Tennessee. Praise the Lord. Found out that's the only city in America or something that had fireworks. Did you see it on the news? They had it on the news. CNN and Fox News showing the fireworks in Cookeville, Tennessee. So we went down to an old store building there in town and crawled up through a scuttle hole, about 3x3 scuttle hole, up a ladder, rickety ladder, and went up on the roof and watched them. But everybody in America had fireworks. I mean, everybody told the government, you know, they said we couldn't have fireworks, and they said, what's this? And there's fireworks everywhere, wasn't it? Everybody had fireworks because everybody defying the government. Well, if we don't start defying the government and standing up and pushing back on this stuff, they're going to rule. You know, they got a law in California, you can't sing in the choir. Churches can't sing. And some made some large churches in California, especially if I had a large church, you know. I'd get out in the street on Sunday morning in the parking lot and start singing as loud as we could sing. Well, they can't put everybody in jail. And I'd say, well, you lock up these rioters and all this, then you can tell us what to do. But if we don't start doing that or something and push back on this thing, they've got everybody scared. I mean, this virus is real. I don't deny that. But so is the flu. So is all kind of other diseases. But, you know, you don't shut down the whole world. After a while, this thing's really going to take its toll. And, I mean, food supply and money and everything. And it's designed for one thing, to cause America to crumble and break down. And so we have to recognize that and stand up. You know, the Bible doesn't say one thing about sinners praying or National Day of Prayer for the nation to pray. The Bible doesn't say that. And if you look at the National Day of Prayer for people to pray, that's not worth anything. God doesn't hear sinners pray. Sinners can pray all day for this nation. God doesn't hear them pray. The only prayer God hears a sinner prays is the prayer of salvation. That's the only one. How can you get a prayer through when the Bible says if you regard iniquity in your heart, that's his people. He says if you got iniquity or sin in your life, don't pray. But I won't hear you. So if he tells his people, his kids that, what about the devil's crowd? So he doesn't hear sinners pray. Forget that stuff. But he does tell us to pray. He said, if my people, will humble themselves and pray and repent, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive your sins and heal your land. Heal your land. Do you know God would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah if Abraham had just asked him? But he stopped with 10 people. And if there'd been 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, God would have spared it. But there wasn't 10 people. And the reason Abraham stopped with 10, he thought, well, surely Lot's family is saved, but there wasn't. Lot was the only one. Lot was the only one. And you wouldn't think that man was saved till you read the New Testament. He said, the Bible called him Righteous Lot, living in that place. Well, he's living there on purpose. He moved in on purpose. And God told Abraham, all right, if there's 10 righteous people, I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And that place was so wicked that God came down himself, or Jesus did, to check it out, to see if it was what had been reported up to heaven. Well, God knew it, but he had a first-hand account come down to, and there wasn't 10 people in that whole city. Wasn't 10 people. That's sad. We're not that bad yet. Don't think. But I was thinking the other day, you know, Howard Pittman died back in the 70s with the heaven, you know. And you remember what he said in a 15-minute period of time on the earth, 2,000 people died in a minute time or something, whatever time period it was. Anyway, 15 minutes, I think. 2,000 people died, and I forget how many. But anyway, 2% of the world's population went to heaven. 2%. That was back in the 70s, and I'll guarantee you we have digressed more than that. It's probably 1.5% now, maybe 1.75%, might be 1% of the world's population that was Christian or went to heaven. Well, if you look in America, they say that 80% of America, or used to, I don't know about now, proclaim to be Christian. Their books and God's books don't match. According to that 2%, I mean, America would just blow that out of the water if it's Christians, but they're not. That's sad. You know, there's a lot of people say they're going to heaven and not going to heaven. According to that. That's scary, it. Well, I'm going. I'll be on that escalator. That's what Howard was on, a big escalator. Went up through that tunnel and went all the way to heaven. Praise the Lord. That Holy Ghost escalator. You'll be on it for long. Praise the Lord. On my way to heaven. Journey gets sweeter every day. Hallelujah. I don't know. We'll read a scripture. What are you going to read? We'll just read anything you want to. Let's read over in Romans 13. Praise the Lord. Romans 13th chapter is a good scripture. Hallelujah. Thirteenth chapter of Romans, verse 1, let every soul, that means person, be subject to the governing authorities. Wow. There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. There is no authority on this earth that didn't come from God. No authority. That means the policeman is the authority of God. The policeman. That means the mayor is the authority of God. It means the governor. Anybody that's in authority is appointed by God. If I was Satan, I would try to control those authorities because they have authority. And misused authority is dangerous. Do you know that? It's misused authority. You control people. Authority is means people is over us. There's people over us. And we're subject to them. And if I was Satan, I would want to control the authorities. That's what Satan goes after, is authority. That's what he works on. That's what he works on in every area, is authority. In a church, I know by the church, I know, you know, by the police department, government, whatever, he goes after the authority. If he can get the authority, then he passed the laws or make the laws, or abusive authority is dangerous. It hurts, harms. That's why the Bible says over in the book of Timothy, pray for those authorities. Pray for them, that you might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. In other words, he said, if you've got good leaders, you'll lead a quiet and peaceable life. If you've got good men and women in authority, you'll lead a good, peaceful, quiet, peaceful life. And he says, now you better pray for them and make sure you've got the right kind of people in authority. Because if you don't, you will pay the price for it, and there's nothing I can do about it. Because I've turned that authority over to man. God has given man authority on this earth. And he gave it to man and thought, well, man, I've given it to man, he can rule. Now, in the dispensation of consciousness, back when he left it up to man and said man can rule himself, and he left it up to man, then he came back and he was sorry. God said, that's amazing scripture in the Bible. Like God came down and said, I can't believe that man is like this, that every thought intent of his heart is evil. And he said, I'm sorry that I've ever made them. Wow. If that's not a accusation against God, I don't know what is. He left it up to man to rule himself, and he said, it's a mess. And God said, I have to end it. I have to stop it. And he said, there is no other choice but to destroy all mankind. And so he found one man, Noah, in all the world. It's 1,500 years, I think, from creation to the flood. In 1,500 years, they had totally destroyed every trace of God from society. Satan got in, and man. You'd think man would have the sense to rule himself in decency and justice and right, but he doesn't. Man, you leave man alone without God, and they're worse than animals. Animals will govern themselves and run a pack and keep order and discipline and authority in a pack. Look at a pack of wolves or anything, but not man. The Bible says that the heart of man is wicked above all things. And we're starting to see in our nation what it's like to have a people or authorities without God. We're seeing that. And it's not pretty. I believe in our nation that we're to appoint, and I believe Donald Trump was a reprieve, or God gave us him for us to pick and choose, like the wheat and the tares I read in the 13th chapter of Matthew, to where we can decide and we can straighten things out here. He gave us Donald Trump, the leader, and gave us where we can straighten this country out. And I believe this next election, we're at a time now, I think, that we can put this nation back on course somewhat and back on track if we get proper leadership. If the church will come out and vote, not only for the president, if we get the president and we can get Congress, good people, God has them out there. There's no doubt about it that God has them. And if we can get good leaders, our Congress, our Senate, down to governors, mayors, and people, and authorities, if we can get good people now, we can put this nation back on track. It'll take a while, but we can. Because all we need now is some good people in authority. We can straighten this stuff out. We won't have these problems. But if we don't win this election, you can forget it for America. I absolutely believe that. You can forget it for America we knew, because 4 years of Biden. I mean, my goodness, my brother and sister. They'll just set him in a room, feed him, and all these left-wing Muslims and gays and everything else will run this nation. And if you think they won't stop you, I mean, already a governor in California said the church can't sing. What do you think the next step is? It's all this is a demon. It's a demon and princes and powers of the air, principalities that Howard saw, that's stirring all this stuff up. It's demons. And if we can get some strong people in authority, see, Donald Trump straightened it out. He had any help. He could straighten it out. All it is knowing right and wrong and having discipline against the wrong. That's all it takes now. You say, you're not going to do that? You sit down, like he said, he's going to pass a law that you'd get 10 years for tearing these monuments down. Well, you know, if you start putting them in jail for 10 years, they wouldn't kick over any more monuments. But nothing like that's happening, because he's got all these judges and all these mayors and governors against him. So we can save our nation, but I hope it wasn't like the last election for Congress where 21% of the church voted. See, God put the authority, he put it in our hands and under our care. And if we don't care, then there's not a thing in the world God can do. I've heard people say, well, God's in control. Well, if he is, he's making a mess out of things. He's flat messing everything up. If it's the best he can run anything, I'd hate to see heaven. God's not in control. He left man in charge. Now, the ultimate plan of God is going to come to pass. That's going to come to pass. The sovereign plan of God will come to pass. The rapture of the church, the sovereign move of God, man doesn't have anything to do with that. That will come to pass. Tribulation period, the judgment of God, and all these other things will come to pass because man doesn't have anything to do with it. Doesn't matter what you believe. If you were born again, you're going to heaven. No matter how much you messed up what you're in charge of down here, that's the sovereignty of God. But what the rest of it is, what we're in authority like Adam was in the garden. If we don't rule and reign, then it's be a mess. Jesus said, all authority I give to you. Now you go out and make disciples of nations. But what happens, see, bad company corrupts good habits. The world is bad. So we get so involved in the world and occupied with the cares of this life and all this, and we slowly get soulish, we get carnal, we get, as 1 Corinthians 3 says, act like mere men. That means unsaved people. Paul said you should be a teacher now. You're gone back to a baby. You need milk. Babies ruling don't do very good. So you can't have a bunch of babies in the church or whatever ruling over anything. You have to grow up. And so if we refuse to do that, Satan knows what he's doing. He gets us. He tried persecution on the church. That didn't work because the more he persecuted it, the more it grew. You know, we thrive out of persecution. The more problem persecution you have, you'll grow spiritually like you wouldn't believe. You let everything start flying apart, honey, you on your knees. You're in church, and you're not going to do anything to tick God off. You'll say, I'll do whatever, Lord. You say, love that person. Oh, I love them. Yes, Lord, I love them. You say, you need to be nice. I'll be nice, Lord. You need to pay tithes. Oh, yes, Lord, I'll pay tithes and give offerings. Oh, I'll give offerings. I'll do whatever, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me pray and walk the floor and go to church. But when we start living the high life and persecution is gone, Satan tried persecution, and the church thrived. It grew by leaps and bounds. And he said, oops, that's not working. So he went back to what God said, and God told the children of Israel, said, now when you get in the land and you start prospering, and you're living in big houses, you don't forget me. And the Bible says, and they said, it's my power that gets me this wealth. And they left God and started worshiping false gods. It's in the time of plenty and prosperity and success when Israel fell. That's when everybody else falls. That's when they forget God. I remember a story that G.B. McDowell told about a church out in Texas. Had a couple in the church. They lived a pretty good distance from the church. And they walked to church, a man and his wife, and they walked they never missed a service. They're there all the time. Rain, they're there. Wintertime, they're there. Hot days, they were there. So finally, the church decided, we're going to take up an offering and buy them a car. Back in the 30s or 40s. And so they took up an offering and bought them a car. And said they never did come to church. And said the pastor and the deacons got together and said, we need to go see them. They must be sick or something. That's not like them. Said they never miss church. And so they went and saw them and said, we've noticed you've not been in church. What's wrong? Oh, pastor, there's nothing wrong. We're so happy. Said, you know, we've had so many places we wanted to go. We've got family that we wanted to see. We've got friends and things we wanted to see, but we never did have a way of going. But now that we've got a car, said we can go anytime we want to, stay as long as we want to, see everybody we want to, and they quit church. Now, that's a true story, according to G.B. McDowell. Now, that is a fact. That happens. God knows that better than you and I know it. That's why God can't make some people rich or prosperous. He knows, if he did, how it would affect us. There's a certain amount of warfare we have to have in our life. He told the children of Israel, you can't fight. I will not let you whip all the ites at one time. I'll let you take the land slow. Because if you drive them all out and there's no more warfare, your children won't know how to fight. Your children won't know how to do war. You'll forget how, and you'll forget me. He said, so I'm leaving some that you'll have to continually fight. And so your children will know how to fight. Now, that's God. And God's not going to he's not going to remove the devil. I create Smith, bloweth cold. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Honey, if you didn't have a war, How would you know God if you didn't press in to find God, if you didn't need God? Well, who'd get saved if there wasn't a hell? That's what Paul said. He said, if this life is all there is, then we're people most pitiful. There has to be a certain amount of trouble in your life. Trouble means affliction, not sickness, not disease, but just good old-fashioned fight. I'm telling you, the faith camp don't have a doctrine like that. But God does. You have to be in a battle. You need God. Because if you don't, you'll forget God. Lord, I'm believing once again this month for finances. You'll get so strong in faith for finances, next thing you know, you'll have all kind of money. Are you out there? You're going home. You were quiet tonight. You have to. Makes you sharp. Iron sharpens iron. If not, you get lazy. So Satan knows. He said, I'll tell you, I'll just quit putting pressure on the church. I'll quit putting, I'll let them prosper. I'll let them get fat. I'll let America so prosperous. And that way, I'll take them down. They'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God and lovers of self. So welcome to the modern day church in America. You go to China, they raise the dead over there continuously. You go to India, you'll see miracles like you've never, like you read about in the Bible. You go to the Middle East, these people are having visions. Jesus is appearing and they're getting born again. They said the most Christians that's being born again in the world is in Iran. Where God's moving most in this world is the nations and the people that's under such persecution. Why? They're seeking God. They can't live without it. They don't have the means you and I have. If God doesn't show up and heal them, they all die. But we have every bit of all kind of medicine, all kind of doctors, which is thank God for it. But it takes all the fight out of us. We don't have to believe God for nothing. Now we can live a prosperous life, a successful life, and have all things, and choose to seek God, and choose to pray, choose to press in, choose to keep going for God. We don't have to have those things. We don't have to have them. It's just you remove them, and a lot of Christians just won't do it. And I know, I've been pastoring almost 30 years. I can tell people. I'll tell you, when they get in trouble, brother, they had every service. I've seen people, you know, they'd come to every prayer service. Oh, Lord, man, they'd pray. And they'd intercede, and they'd think intercession come on them for praying for the nation or other people, and there wouldn't be a thing in the world but them just crying out because they're under such stress. They wasn't interceding. They're just crying out because they're under such weight or under such pressure, they thought. Oh, Lord. I've been in intercession prayers, and women and stuff, I could tell, you know, what their problem was. If they was having a problem with their husband, they was praying for all the husbands in the church. Lord, help these husbands. Let's pray for the husbands. Let's pray for the marriages. Why? There's nothing wrong with that. Or if they want to intercede for finances, they're broke. Now, the Holy Ghost can use that, and he'll pray and all that. That's not what I'm saying. But usually you can tell. That is the people that don't show up much. The people that pray all the time, show up all the time, then you can't, that's the Holy Ghost just coming on. But are you out there? Yeah. Glory to God. God knows how to stir his church up to pray. So God sees what's going on in this nation. And he says, if it'll drive you to your knees, if it'll wake you up, if it'll push you to the voting booth, if you'll wake up and see, then you can save your nation. If you'll realize what desperate shape you're in. What is it? Psalms 104. Where they went into trouble and they cried out to God and God delivered them. Oh, that man would give thanks unto the Lord without that. But then they went and they got into trouble and they cried unto the Lord and he delivered them. Oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord. Read it. It's just one time after the other. If you'll read the book of Judges, that's what Judges was all about. Usually it's about 40 years. They thrived good. Then God would send them a judge. He'd tear down all the idols and the high places and get everybody back to going to church and worshiping God. And they'd do good for a while. And before long, the judge would die or go. And they'd back on the mountain, on the high places, worshiping the flesh. All those false gods were just gods of the flesh. And they was back doing the same thing. Then the enemy would come in and take them, capture them, take them, make slaves out of them. Then they'd cry out to God, oh, God. And he'd send them a judge. And they'd go through the same cycle over. That's how the book of Judges is. They'd get in trouble. The enemy would come, take them captive. It's like Gideon. Hiding under the wine press because every time they had a harvest, they'd come in, steal it. He was hiding under the wine press trying to get enough food to eat. And an angel showed up and he said, where is the God of Elijah? Why are we in such trouble? If you're God, how come we're in this mess? If you're the God of Israel, why are we like this? Why are we have to hide? Why do we have to do this? Why are we losing our nation? Why are this? Why are that? And God says, not my fault. Get out from under that wine press. If I can find somebody who'll straighten up, I'll deliver you people again. Oh, the patience of our God. The grace of our God. We don't have to have it. The children of Israel didn't have to have it. God said, you'll live like days of heaven on earth. If you'll just serve me and love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thy soul, in him only shall you serve. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11, that it will be like days of heaven upon the earth. But then they'd immediately go back after other gods. Making gods out of mud, putting them up and worshiping them, and knowing the God Jehovah, yet they still chose that. So it's not strange to see America going the way it's going. Every nation on the earth has went that way. Every nation on the earth has went that way. So it's not strange. America has been a holdout. America's been the only nation that had in God we trust. Who would ever, 4th of July, have parades up down the street waving a flag and singing national anthem, teaching patriotism in our schools, teaching about God in our schools. Satan said, I've got to get rid of God. If I'm ever going to ruin this nation, I've got to get rid of God. So he took God out of our schools. Then he took God out of the home. Then it's easy to take him out of the church. Now then we can't even have a cross in the neighborhood. Now then a lot of places you can't fly a flag. If you get patriotism out of the hearts of people, you can conquer their nation. Easy. So they've taught our kids and taught our college kids, the next generation, it's America's fault. So if it's America's fault, let's go in the streets and riot, burn down things, and overthrow America. You know, Chris Michaels, the guy's
pastor
that I was at his church, he's a young pastor, very intelligent. I mean, he's intelligent. He's got a, he was a geologist. And he's got like 4 or 5 PhDs, young people, in his church. He's got people with master's degrees and doctors and all that. And I said, what in the name of God you people got me in here for? I said, out of my league. Very intelligent. And so he was doing a thing for each, he says each service, he just shares a little bit on this movement we're having. It's called the woke movement. Have you heard that? The woke. And you know, like you woke up. That's what they're calling it. And I didn't know some of the stuff he's sharing. I mean, very enlightening. I mean, he studies the history and goes all the way back and talks about slavery and where it come from, all these. You know, Germany is doing the same thing we're doing in America. Tearing down statues, renaming streets. And they didn't have slavery. But they're doing identically the same thing we're doing. And putting up statues of people that, I mean, it's amazing. I told him, I said, you need to come over and share that with our church. I mean, very enlightening. We can see the condition that we're in and all this stuff. He's got some black people in his church. And so he's talking to them about racism and exposing all this stuff for what it is and this Black Lives Matter stuff. It's not anything. It's a communist organization. It's an anarchy. It's not have a thing in the world to do with black lives. Not one single thing does it have to do with black lives. And he exposes that really good. But and all that's happening, and we don't think anything about it. We're just letting it happen. And Antifa, they're just moving all over America. Some of them said they're going to start going to rural areas and start moving down south. I kind of feel for them. I'd be woke up then. Some of these rednecks waiting on them. Come on down here and woke me up. We'll have a war. I mean, really, if they start moving, there'll be a war. They're going to woke up the wrong bunch, what they're going to do. I mean, there are these liberal cities and all these places where they're all like that anyway. The rulers, the people in authority are, so they just let them do what they want to. But other places, kind of not like that. Tennessee has got a good governor. Over in Cookeville, Tennessee, where I was back in the Obama, second term of the Obama administration, where they started coming, you remember, coming against that In God We Trust, and we're going to do things. The mayor of the city put in big, giant letters, engraved it over the courthouse, In God We Trust. And they put it in big, bold letters all over the police car. In God we trust. Everywhere you go in Cookeville, you see, in God we trust. I mean, it felt good, you know, over there. The spirits were just good in that city. I said, praise the Lord. There's a lot of good people still left in this. But God knows how to wake us up. He does. And usually, it's about ways that we wouldn't be. We're not going to wake us up by being prosperous. I mean, I'd like to just be prosperous, continue like we've been, but the devil won't leave us alone. And he gets his crowd and he gets his bunch stirred up. And so then the church will wake up and everybody else will wake up. God knows how to wake us up to pray. And we can turn it around and we can turn America back on its right path if we will. Be stirred up and realize the trouble we're in. And if we can go to the voting booth this fall, we can straighten it out there. Now, but if that doesn't happen, It's like it'll be an absolute war in this nation. I mean, that's just all there is to it. The freedom you've known, it won't be here. You just think about it. I mean, what they've done. And so, where are we at? Verse 2. I spent all that time in verse 1. You'll never get out here. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Well, how do you get judged? By resisting authority. Now, and I think we need to teach our policemen and get all the bad ones out and all of that. I think we need to do that. And I think we need to, reteach the policemen and all that, maybe how to handle things. But we ought to teach our kids and people how to not resist authority. You'd be amazed what the judgment you wouldn't come under if you wouldn't resist. It says here, if you start resisting, you're going to get judgment on you. The least part of it would be go to jail. The other part, get shot. That's what God said. If you resist it, and you're going to jail, or you're going to get hurt. So don't resist. And that's all authority, not just police authority. Are you out there? God bless our police. Lord, help them. Lord, we pray for our police officers in this nation. We need them. We got to have them. Lord, help them. I know so many of them's quitting, retiring. What a mess we'll be in, Lord, if we don't have the police. Help them. Give us leaders, God, in Jesus' name. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. In other words, they're not going to bother you if you're not doing anything. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Isn't that just smart? Look what we're doing in this nation. Do you want to not be afraid of authority? Then do what's right. And you won't have a problem. And you'll get praise from the one that you've been afraid of. If they just teach this in our churches, they just teach this. One scripture. Solve a lot of the problems. Well, you'd find the bad cops easily, and we'd get rid of them. For God is a minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he who does bear the sword, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Or a pistol or a gun or whatever. He don't just carry that around for jewelry. It's there for a reason. And God's the minister for good. It's for your well-being. But if you do evil, he says you better be afraid, because they got a sword. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Do we ever need that? That word minister is identically the same word used for a minister of the gospel. It's identically the same word used for a deacon or anybody that's called of God to stand in the pulpit or preach the word. What? Same word. Called of God just for a different thing. Amen? Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but just because of conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Well, you got to left that out, God. Did you know God put in the Bible to pay taxes? Well, they're too high. I know it. It's our fault. We let it get that way. We not proper authority, not proper leadership, not proper rulership. But still yet, God says, for this same reason, you also pay taxes. For they are God's minister, attending continually to this very thing. Well, shoot. Render, therefore, to all their due. Render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. Render unto God what is God's. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Wow. What practical everyday preaching in a society that would cause that society to operate and run sufficiently. And we would live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. But when it's out of control, hold on, man, anything but to love them. Now, he's talking about walking in love. Look with me over in I think we got time, don't we? Time is 6:30. Over in Exodus. You said, oh, Lord, he's at 6:30. He'll be here all night. Now, authority. God. Here in Judges chapter 21, God laying down the law about what ministers, people to do. We're different now, see. The only law we have now is over. We don't have the Ten Commandments. They had the Ten Commandments, but they had all kind of laws here in the laws of Moses, not just the Ten Commandments. They had a passel of them. God laid it out to man in every little detail about everything. You'd think man could have common sense and you not have to tell him, like, don't lie with an animal. You would think we shouldn't have to be told that. But he did. Men, don't lie with men. Women, don't lay with women. Man, don't lay with your mother. Don't lay with your sister. I mean, God put that in the Bible. You think, well, are we that stupid? Yeah, evidently. These people that he gave all this law to, their heart hadn't been regenerated. They were lost. And he said, the heart of man is wicked above all things. And God laid it out in every detail like that to have a law against it where man could have a peaceful society and we think we're able to govern ourselves. And God plainly tells us by going back to the Old Testament, look, if you leave man to himself, you look what he's capable of doing. And we think today that we don't need strict laws and strict government and righteous society or righteous judges, and you leave man to himself without God, and you see what our society becomes. And God said, what happens? You make the land sick. And the very land you live on will get sick and vomit you out. Your very land, your society itself will be poisoned. And you'll be devoured by the very land or society or the places you're living. And we think we don't need God's rule. Now, in the New Testament, he doesn't put all this stuff because man's heart has been regenerated. He has a new heart, the heart of God. But the sinners are still sinners just like they were in the Old Testament, still lost and dark and capable of doing that. But the only law we have in the New Testament is the law of love. And the law of love covers all the Ten Commandments and all these other things. And we're led by our spirit and led by the inside man instead of the outside man. The Bible plainly tells us in the book of John, if you sin, you're not saved. But if you're saved, you cannot sin. Really? I've seen a bunch of sinning Christians. What's that mean? That means if you study it from your heart, before you were born again, all your sin was generated and come out of your heart because it was polluted, it was black, and you were a sinner. And I don't care what you did or how much you taught your kids, they were still, the sin generated inside of them and come out. But once you were born again, sin does not come out of the inside of you. It comes out from the fallen man on the outside of what is around you. You're corrupted by what you see and what you do and by the old life. But it does not generate and come out of here. Your heart has been changed. But your flesh can do a lot of sinning. That's why you have to crucify it. Paul said, I die daily. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross? Every day you take that cross up, crucify that man. You kill the old man every day. You don't let him act like the old man. You don't let him do that. Well, how can I control it? By this regenerated heart. You're born again now. You're supposed to work out your salvation. What's that mean? You work out what you got from the inside out to where people can see it. Are you out there? Chapter 21, let's read a couple of scriptures here. Verse 12. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. Capital punishment. Well, we've done away with that. God don't know what he's talking about. We don't need all that. You say, that's the Old Testament. No, God's still God. He's talking about a society to live a good life. One thing about the guy that's a murderer, serial killers, whatever, if you have capital punishment, that ends their career. And it sends a message to others, hey, I better not do that. However, if he did not lie in wait, or it wasn't premeditated, but God deliver him into his hands, I will appoint you a place where he can be free. That's the city of refuge. But if a man acts on premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Now, I guarantee you, you're not going to have any rebellious kids. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Wait a minute. I heard that old crazy guy's on the HBO that hates Christians and everything. I can't think of the name now. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about? Bill Maher. Yeah. You know, he hates Christians, makes fun of them and all that. He is using these scriptures, talking about how silly it was in the Bible and all that, and God tells you, kill your kids and all that. See, he's ignorant. He don't even know what it means. You do this, you're not going to have any rebellious kids toward the family. They may want to do it, but they're not going to do it. You won't have to tell them to sit down more than once. Because some people are not capable. They are. They can do it. But they won't do it. Rear their kids right. I can read you some scripture over Proverbs that tells you how to train up a child. But that's not the way you do it. Now, Dr. Spock come along and he wrote all these nice books. And he told us to, you know, you can't do that. You'll warp the kids. You can't do that. You mess up their little spirits. And, you know, time out and all. You see what society we've got now, what time out did for us. When I went to school, we didn't have any of the problems we have in school today. None. I mean, they'll flat light you up. And I've had whippings that I didn't deserve. Really. Everybody's had a whipping from the parents or something. They didn't really deserve it, but I've had a lot of them I did deserve. Yeah. And the one I got, I didn't deserve. It didn't hurt me. Didn't warp me any. We're so goofy without God. Well, you better not whip that kid. You better not whip it. You'll mess it up. Yeah, and if you don't, it'll mess your whole family up. Good morning. He who strikes his father and mother shall be put to death. If men contend with each other, and one strikes the other with a stone or his fist, and he does not die, then but he's confined to his bed. If he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of his time and shall provide for him a till he's thoroughly healed. And if the man beats his male or female servant with a rod so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for it is his property. Wow. Now, isn't that something? That's in the Bible. Can you imagine back when they had slaves? People that had slaves would go to church, and the preacher would preach this, and everybody, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and all. Think that God gave permission then to have slaves. God is not giving permission here to own somebody. Man, this is before man was regenerated and before God worked his plan all the way through to got man to a place that he could establish his will in society. He had to do whatever he could do to keep things in a boundary, to keep it from getting so far out like it was when he had to destroy man till he could work his plan in society and come along then and say, you cannot own another man. God was not giving permission. It's line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. He was just telling people, you know, how to kind of be as moral as possible till he could straighten us out. Amen. Then it goes on and says, if you hurt a man, you know, a life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, burn for a burn, go, and just all the way through this. And it's just good laws in society. It's just like if you hit a man or something and he's out of work, then you're going to pay all his bills. You're going to pay his doctor bills. You're going to pay everything till he gets back on his feet, and you're going to pay him for a loss of time. See, we didn't have judges, and we didn't have courts, and we didn't have everything like we have today. That's what Moses had to do when he was a judge, is to solve all these cases that come before him. Well, my neighbor slapped me, and I was out of work for 3 days. Well, Moses would have to take the law and say, well, now listen, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to pay him. You have to take care of his family. You're going to have to pay for his food, everything, because this is what God said. They couldn't say, well, I'm not doing what you said, Moses. God, and Moses said, this is the law. It's the only law they had. But we down through society, we've got all kind of laws now, but we should have taken our laws from the Bible. And now people go to court all the time. That's why Moses' father-in-law told Moses, listen, you're killing yourself out here trying to judge everything that comes before you. Appoint some men to judge all these matters, and if it's a high case that they can't figure out, you be the Supreme Court. And let them appeal it up to you. Then you can solve it. Because God had to lay down a law for every single thing in society. Amen? So we've advanced to where we have judges and all that, but still the same thing. I go to court, you know, you go to court, whatever. But then we come over in the New Testament where they're in the church, and God said, you don't take your brother to court. What's wrong with you? If you can't solve that in the church, you people are spiritual. Don't you know one day you're going to judge angels? If you're going to judge angels, you can't judge a small matter as that. You take it to church. And the pastor says, you owe this man some money. Well, yeah, I did, but we'll pay him. Well, I'm not listening to you. Who think you are? You're the pastor. I'll find me another church. So the church can't handle any problems. Because nobody won't submit to authority. Said, I don't submit to you. I don't have to stay here. I'll go find me another church. Go on then. Then next thing you know, you're in legal in court suing each other because you wouldn't listen to the... Are you out there? Stand up with me. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God knows us. He knows man. He dealt with us a long time. And even though we have a heart that's been regenerated, we still got this flesh, and God knows us. And he knows we have to have a higher law. And if we don't submit to somebody that's over us, then we submit to ourselves, and I guarantee you, you're in anarchy. You're a rebel, and you won't say, I'm not listening to you. The Bible says, brother offends you, you go to that brother. If he'll listen to you, if he won't, you go to the elders of the church. They'll listen. Then, if not, you go to the pastor. Then you sit down and you talk and say, now listen, you people need to quit acting like that. You forgive one another. That's how we're supposed to run things. Then we submit and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And say, I'm sorry, you forgive me. Even down to small matter. The church's supposed to handle it. But nobody does that in church. You cannot rebuke people in church. You cannot have a law in church. You can't have anything. People say, who do you think you are? I'm an authority been placed by God. Well, good morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have time to get our nation back. If we'll pray like you told the church to, if we'll repent and we'll submit to you, then you'll work with us and you'll heal our land. But we have to go find now righteous leaders as best as our ability now. But you have men and women out there, and we can go to the voting booth. We can put good, strong authority in, and we can turn this and get rid of these people that's causing so much problem. It's simple. Just get rid of them, like Moses said. But if we don't, they'll rule. They'll rule. And we'll have to pay the price. But Father, we have time, and we'll take it, and we'll get our nation back. Stir your people up, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, there's a meeting for everybody's over 50 years old. No, that's not. For everybody's going to be in youth camp.